Sports and Medicine Broadcast, Episode 4, Think Outside the Gym, for Thursday, May 19th, 2011. All right, we're down here in Houston, Texas, Pasadena, Texas, actually, and typically when you think of Texas and sports, you're thinking of football, but we want to go ahead and break the stereotype of all we do is play football down here, and we're going to start off our series with a set of performing arts people. We have two people coming in that are actually in performing arts, and they're going to be talking to us about that. And so, since we're talking about the performing arts, we're going to go ahead and give you our experience with the performing arts. Real quick, just to define it for you so you know what we're talking about, it encompasses Broadway, live theater, ballet, contemporary dance, and music. So performing arts isn't just ballet or just drill team. As an athletic trainer, we might have to take care of the cheerleaders. We might have to take care of the dance team. We've even been called out to take care of the band kids, because they're out there practicing on the concrete and it's 100 degrees outside. And so there's a lot of different performing arts that use athletic trainer services as well. Personally, I can't dance. What about you, Bill?
Me neither, man. I can't dance either.
So as far as experience with performing arts, really any of them, theater, ballet, dance, music, I don't do any of those myself. So I don't really have any personal first-hand experience with any of this.
Well, I haven't been in theater either. My sisters were in a drill team in high school. Both of them were in high school, but that was another ages ago. So, but they still do drill like they do drill now, except maybe not as many. Now I think girls do in drill, they do more contemporary type dancing. Back then they just did the routines and stuff. Both my sisters were officers, but, I've been to some plays and stuff, but I have never gone in as an athletic trainer purpose. But I've been to see plays. I've seen Cirque du Soleil. How do you pronounce it?
Cirque du Soleil.
My wife and her and our son were in New York just here back in just a couple weeks ago, and they did see Spider-Man on Broadway. Of course, Spider-Man. Of course, Jeremy. Both of us. We know that it's had some problems on Broadway, but they didn't have any while they were there. But let's see.
Let me jump in real quick. I also, you brought up drill team. Both of my sisters were in drill team and Little League through high school. My older sister was, and then all the way through Little League, my younger sister was, and my mom was like the drill director or assistant director, or I don't know. She was always helping out with something. So I do have, I guess, secondhand experience with
that's what we could call
with
it,
drill. Yeah. Not really firsthand, not like thirdhand, but secondhand experience. I had to go to those tryouts and then like those. It's like AAU for dance teams. Like I don't know what they were dancing
they
for.
They were contests.
Yeah, contests.
Contests. Yeah.
And so.
And the only secondhand experience I have is my sisters would have the officers over at the house. They would be practicing, coming up with routines and stuff, but it's nothing to what they do now. So,
yeah, we used to have those at the house. And, of course, me, it was my older sister. I was always checking out the girls, but never, I was, 3 years younger, so I never got any dates out of that. It's all right. It all worked out. Got a beautiful wife now. So you also mentioned Cirque du Soleil. Sarah and I went to Las Vegas, the only time we were there. We were there for like 24 hours because we went there to see the Beatles, Cirque du Soleil. I think it's called Love. And it was stinking amazing.
Oh, yeah. I saw the one on, I think it was at the Sam Houston racetrack. They had one out there. And they just set up the tent in the parking lot. And it's amazing. I cannot believe all the stuff that they do.
We went to after we went to Vegas, we were like, oh, Cirque du Soleil's in town. Let's go to it. And so I can't believe they set a tent up and then have all that stuff going on, like as many lights and stage movements and all this other stuff as they do in just under a tent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. They when I was going to a doctor for my finger is another story, but they would show on their TV the Cirque du Soleil. They would show it. I mean, they would just show it. You just sit there in the lobby while you're waiting, and you could just see the whole show on DVD on their big screen TV. I mean, so I mean, I got to see it again, but it was a different performance. It was a different style.
Yeah, again, like I'd love to go see those again. I love to watch them. Except they're kind of expensive. I think it was like $75 a ticket, or. Mm-hmm. Ooh. So one day when we're rich, we'll go and see some of those. Maybe go back to Vegas and see another one. But Vegas is an interesting city altogether. So back to Spider-Man, which you mentioned earlier. Your wife saw. Real quick, backstage.com. Listed this, Christopher Tierney is back in action. So he was the actor that is playing Peter Parker, playing Spider-Man. And he fell 35 feet during a live performance, suffered a fractured skull, fractured shoulder blade, 4 broken ribs, and 3 broken vertebrae. But he is now back in action. And so as we talk to our guests, you're going to see some of the injuries that they've dealt with, but you can kind of understand performing arts can be pretty intense. You know, a fractured skull is obviously life-threatening. You know, a fractured shoulder blade, broken ribs, broken vertebrae, those things are pretty serious injuries, and, you know, athletic trainers are trained to take care of emergency situations. So I could definitely see the validity in having athletic trainers working with the performance arts. You were telling me about Spider-Man. You and your wife saw it. They had some sort of difficulty too.
They just had some technical difficulty, but it was like power technical difficulty. It wasn't any actor or performer falling. I think the understudy was the one that was performing when they saw it. I don't think it was Christopher Tierney. I don't think he was in action back yet, but as we were saying, you know, the ballet, Houston Ballet, has hired athletic trainers for when they come into town. So that is an area in which athletic trainers
are. Do they do
that
just for the shows, do you know? Or is it they have one on staff?
I don't know. I really don't know in detail, but I just did see it on like an email we got saying that they were offering a position. So I think they were trying to hire a full-time. But I don't know how often the ballet lasts in Houston. I don't know if it's here year round or is it just in a season.
Yeah, I know the Houston Ballet, the real professional dancers, full time, whatever, they travel some places. I don't know, maybe you travel with them, the ballet?
It might be. So I'm not sure.
Maybe our guests will have a better idea when we get to speaking with them. Anything else? Do you maybe. You do contemporary dance? You break dance, Bill?
Nah.
No? You see a lot of those kids on YouTube break dancing and...
Yeah, I've seen them, but...
breaking arms and whatnot, because they...
I don't have any experience with it, so...
Yeah. All right, so what about any other things we talked about? Ballet, contemporary dance, music, karaoke?
I don't see how anybody doing karaoke is going to get hurt, but... They could fall off the stage, I guess. I don't know.
I guess usually karaoke is associated with drunkenness and, you know, possibly.
Bars and stuff, yes.
They don't usually hire medical staff for karaoke. But
I would only think that maybe Broadway and ballet and
I guess like
dance.
Like Britney Spears does all those dances, and who else? Who are some of the other? Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. You know, like all the rock groups where they do like the backflips off the speakers.
Yeah, but I think they would just have personal trainers. I think they'd have more personal trainers than athletic trainers. Because I figure they may have like maybe a chiropractor or whatever they would use with them. But I don't foresee them having a full-time athletic trainer on hired.
It almost seems like... Not necessarily a waste, but like an athletic trainer, you know, you typically were trained to take care of injuries, but there are athletic trainers that work in settings that constantly are are almost like physical therapists or, you know, do those other things. Whereas
yeah, they do basically rehab or, you know, strength. They do some strength training. But
so I would say to sum up our little intro, neither of us have any firsthand experience with the performing arts, except for the fact that we've treated cheerleaders, drill team members, band members, choir. Yeah. Have we treated anybody from choir? I don't think so. And I don't think we've seen anybody. We don't have a breakdance team from the school, and so
we had a step team a couple years ago, but I don't know if they still do. But mostly we've dealt with just drill team and cheerleaders and band members.
So that's our only firsthand experience, but we're going to have some guests that have an extensive background with the performing arts as performers, as teachers, and everything like that. So this week, our special guests are Jessica Bradley and Danielle Elsner. All right, this is Danielle Elsner. She is a dance teacher, a choreographer, working for the Art Park Dancers. She has been working for them or with them for a while, but this is her first year with her very own class. And a couple of details about Danielle. First, she is my cousin, so it's very cool for me to be able to do this with my cousin on the show today. But she was in the Houston Ballet for 10 years. She is currently at San Jac Junior College on a dance scholarship. She was able to attend Pacific Northwest Ballet School for Dance for their summer intensive dance program. And Pacific Northwest Ballet School is the second best dance school in the nation. So woohoo, good job, Danny. And she is also a dancer for Dancers Against Cancer, which, as it sounds, is an organization that dances or has people, you know, does performances to raise money to help fight cancer. All right, so that is one of our first guests, Danielle Elsner and Doc Scott.
And our other guest is Jessica Bradley. She is the Eagle Escort Drill Team and Director at Pasadena High School here. And this is her first year. She's taken over for someone that's been here for quite a long time. So we're glad to have her. She was a colonel in her high school drill team. She was also a member of the Kilgore College Rangerettes. And if you don't know the Kilgore Rangerettes, they're the ones that always perform at the New Year's Eve Cotton Bowl parades, and they always perform at halftime at the Cotton Bowl. So, and she's was a member of the Kista Tucker Modern Dance Company. That was a tongue twister there. And is currently the director of the award-winning Pasadena High School drill team. And they won several sweepstakes awards this year at the Dance Line Turning Point competition. That's a big yahoo for them.
All right. So, again, welcome to both of our dancers. And, again, you know, we want to go ahead and set the stage. We are not showing any favoritism to football, which is usually the dominant thing for athletic trainers. We're starting off with the performing arts. And with that being said, both of our guests, well, I guess we'll start with you, Danny. Talk about when did you start dancing? Maybe when did you get into it? Where did you start dancing?
Okay, I started dancing when I was 5.5 years old. And I actually started dancing because one of my best friends was dancing. And I didn't really want to go into dance. I just wanted to do it because she was in it. So that was really fun for us. And the studio that I started at was the studio that I'm teaching at now, Art Park Dancers. That was my first place.
Are you still friends with that best friend that gets you into dancing?
No.
No, but it's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Very cool. Well, I'm sure she would be glad to know that she inspired you just to such a wonderful career. All right, Jessica.
I started dancing at 3. It was something that my parents just put me in, and I did it for about a couple years, and then I think Dad wanted to put me in softball and other things, but that didn't quite work out. And then I picked it back up when I made the drill team in high school, And I think it was just best for me to start in high school because my mind was more alert of what my body needed to do. And so I just got better from high school, and I think I've turned into a great dancer. And I didn't have to start so young, so.
All right, very cool. So way to one-up Danny there, or Danielle, excuse me. Of, like I said, Danielle is my cousin, and I might say Danny because that's what we've called her for a long time. But she's older now. She's more mature. She's got to go by Danielle. So, Danielle, I apologize on record for going again. So.
Okay, Danielle, what type of dance have you done? Neither of us have any dance experience, so be ready to explain to us because we have no idea about dance.
Okay, well, first of all, the one that I have the most experience in is ballet. I've been doing ballet for 10 years, and... Well, classical ballet, it's the dance that you see. It's one of the older forms. It's the oldest form of dance. And it's the style where the dancers wear the point shoes and they have the basic positions. The second most of the styles that I've done, it would probably be modern dance and jazz. Modern dance is it's probably the second oldest form of dance, and it's more... contemporary, and it's not one that a lot of viewers typically see. It's more traditional, and it's done to music that isn't popular. It's just like it's not viewed as much. And then jazz dance, of course, is more of a drill team style dance. It also has its roots in the Fosse style. But those are the three that I've done the most training in: ballet, modern, and jazz.
Cool. Jessica, how about you? What type of dances have you done, or dance have you done?
Well, y'all did great at picking the two of us because we both cover everything pretty good. But I stick mainly to drill team because I have to teach it so much. But in Rangerettes, we did a lot of jazz and high kicks. And when we kick, you have to kick your face, and it has to go to the nose. You can imagine what that does to the body. I've done a lot of drill team style, which is high kicks and jazz, and then lyrical, and then when I went to college, the same Houston, they're mainly modern based and ballet based. So I took a lot of ballet classes for my major, and I really, really enjoyed that. So I teach drill team, but I really do love doing ballet and modern style. And I was part of that modern company that we went and toured. We got 2 weeks off of college and got to go tour in New York at different colleges there. And then on top of that, you have to take in college some extra little fun classes that are kind of random. And I can tap. I do tap too. I took a hula class, that was fun. We made our own skirts and jitterbug and swing. And that's it.
That's a lot of stuff. I've heard of the jitterbug, heard of swing, and then I got lost in all those other words, so... Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, that'll work. I'm sure Danny knows what you're talking about, right? Danielle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pardon. Okay, so we just talked about, did you just mention which college you graduated from, where you took those classes? Where was that, Jessica?
Kind of. I did a little bit. Well, I went to two colleges. I started just right out of high school. I started at Kilgore because I wanted to do Rangerette so bad. So you can only spend 2 years there. You can only be a Rangerette for 2 years. So I did 2 years there. And they have a good dance program there, but it's mainly jazz. And then I went to Sam Houston, which is, it's not far. It's just about an hour up the road, and then hour and a half probably. And I did a ton of ballet and a ton of modern. So Sam Houston State University in Kilgore.
Now, ha ha ha,
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
eat them
right.
Up, cats.
Bills for Sam. I don't think HBU has a very established dance program, so I can't send anybody there, but that's all right. Now, my cousin Danielle, our other guest, is actually interested in going to Sam Houston, correct?
Yes, I am. Looking into going.
So, Jessica, would you recommend Danielle go to Sam Houston for dance?
I couldn't recommend it more. I couldn't recommend it.
Like,
no. It's like it has become just in the past 2 years, like even more than I ever expected it would be. They built a brand new performing arts center, which is amazing, and I'm so jealous that I never got to be a part of it. But you need to go. You have to go. They have new faculty that just came in, a married couple that they're young and they're fresh. So you still have, like, the good, like, rootsy people there that have they're great at ballet, but then you have these two fresh new people that are Andy Noble and Dion Noble that perform a lot in mm-hmm. Houston, if you've ever heard of them. They have their own dance company. Mm-hmm. And in Houston they perform at – well, you can probably – you probably know, but they perform a lot in Houston, and they're fresh. The facility is incredible. They have a trainer come. He comes every Wednesday on staff and just sits there, and he has his own training room, and so he waits, and he'll fix you up if you have a problem with your body. So,
all right, don't jump ahead too far, Jessica. That's all we get to. Yeah. But good intro. All right, Miss Danielle.
Yes.
You are currently at San Jack, correct?
Correct.
Dancing there?
Mm-hmm.
Would you recommend people interested in dance go to San Jack?
Yes. San Jack South has a pretty good dance program. They have ballet and modern mostly. They also have a tap class and I think a jazz class. But if you can get into the ballet and modern class, it's a really good structure for those that are looking to pursue a college degree in dance, because it really gives you the foundation that you need to become a better dancer.
All right. So if you're looking to go to junior college and dance, then San Jack South is,
yes,
is a good spot to go. And then that will give you a good foundation to go to Sam Houston, like Miss Bradley and Miss Danielle is about to do. So very good. Both of our guests recommend their alma maters. Fantastic.
And I recommend Sam Houston, yes, too. So
eat them up, cats.
Go Bearcats.
And I must say, I know you might have heard a little noise earlier. We, for the second time in a row, have a guest audience for our show. So not only do we have two guest speakers, but we also have an audience. So, yes, we are recording in front of a live studio audience, even though you are not hearing this live. You're hearing it a day or so later. So, all right.
Okay, Danielle, I know you're still young and everything, but have you had any jobs or careers? And if so, you know, what would make you, what made you decide, since you really aren't have a career yet, what has made you decide to go into dance? I know you said you've been dancing since you were, you know, barely able to walk, you know, but have you had any other experiences as far as jobs or anything in your young age?
No, I have not. My first job was actually choreographing and teaching at the studio that I grew up with. I wanted to pursue this career because I love it so much. I don't want to do anything else. And that's really all I can say for that. That's what I want to do.
Okay, Jessica?
I'm a lot like Danielle. Like, once you put in so much time and, you know, your parents have shelled out money towards sending you, putting you in lessons, it just kind of becomes all you know. And I did look at other things, but pretty much, like, if that's where your heart is, that's where you go. And I think you might have asked for a one sentence answer, and it became more than that. But my dad said he told me if you need to do what you love doing, and then you'll be happy, and that's how I feel.
I think that probably is an excellent explanation. All right, so now we get to the sports medicine part. I've actually talked to Danielle a couple different times throughout the years about dance injury. So why don't we start with Jessica? Do you remember a first dance injury? And then who did you see about this? I know you mentioned the trainer there at Sam, but what about your first dance injury?
My first dance injury doesn't sound like horrible at all, but because I didn't take care of it, it kind of stayed with me. We were high kicking, and I came down on the ankle, and I think it just overstretched the ligament. And so I went and saw him, my trainer at the high school, at Huntsville High School, and I guess he did some shock treatment on it. And then I said, I have to dance tomorrow, and my ankle was huge and blue. And he said, well, it's not going to be smart, but I'm not going to tell you no. And of course I did. He wrapped it up so good that the foot was flexed. So I was kicking the entire time with the foot flexed over my head. And it was never the same. Like, the ankle always gave me problems for a long time. So I guess it's been 7 years and it's finally healed. But that was my clue into learning how to take care of injuries, because they're not going to go away like that.
That's an excellent answer, perfect for an athletic trainer looking to plug their field there. Great job, Jessica. Yeah. All right, Miss Danielle.
My first injury, Mine wasn't really that bad either. It was actually just tendonitis in my Achilles tendon. But I saw the physical therapist at Houston Ballet, and I tried to ice it, and I tried to take care of it, and I still have it, so it's a problem that I could never get rid of.
Usually tendonitis is an overuse thing, and you got to rest, and you probably don't get a lot of rest, do you?
No, I don't.
Well, there you go. That'll solve your problem. Just rest. Put your feet up, maybe when you're on vacation sometime. So.
Okay, Danielle, I want to ask you this question. Do you think, in your experience, do you think there is a need for athletic trainers in the dance profession?
I think there is. I think if there were more athletic trainers around all drill teams and studios, even at that, then a lot of injuries would probably be prevented if there were more athletic trainers in the dance profession.
Okay. How about you, Jessica, with your college experience and, you know, all the others?
Most definitely. With college, it becomes a lot more intense. It's real intense in college, but then it's also important in high school because you have kids that they didn't necessarily get studio training, so they don't know how their body is supposed to be aligned. So when it's not aligned perfectly, then you have tons of injuries because they're just going about it the wrong way. So, but in both cases, yes. And then our kids here at the school and then everywhere else, they don't know how to heat their body or where when to put ice on it. So I think those trainers are there because they can show them what ways to work it and what ways to fix it. And then in college, there becomes injuries that you can't necessarily see. Like maybe it's not a swollen ankle, it's not bruised anywhere, but it's like an internal muscle injury that they don't know anything about,
like
but that
tendonitis.
Trainer can help. Yes, like tendonitis. So, yes, definitely, definitely, definitely.
Okay, so overall, athletic trainers would be beneficial in the dance profession. And like we mentioned earlier in the warm-up or the early discussion just between Doc and I, there's actually a kind of a movement in the National Athletic Trainers Association towards getting athletic trainers into the performing arts to take care of all those different areas of performing arts. But the more people know, the more they see the dancers, the more they can see the injuries, especially with, like we talked about, the Spider-Man Broadway with that guy falling and doing so much damage to himself, that, hey, these people need some, you know, people with medical training to kind of be regularly taking care of them.
So. And I know, and like we talked earlier, that the Houston Ballet is basically stepping out ahead already. So.
Right. The ballet, I think, already employs an athletic trainer. Is that, mm-hmm. do you?
Yes.
Have you ever met him? Him?
No, I have not. I mean, they had the physical therapist there, but they do have an athletic trainer, and I left about a year or so ago, and I'm sure they have a new one now, and they moved to a different facility and everything, and they're really good about that.
The job that we saw came up just here in the past year or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it was last school year.
Yeah.
So, all right, so they are making headway, athletic trainers in all sorts of professions. They also work at Disneyland. You know, there's a lot of dancers there, Disneyland, mm-hmm. Disney World, taking care of the performers. So, okay. Moving forward past college, we obviously know, Jessica, you are working at the high school level as a dance teacher. What other professional, y'all can kind of go back and forth just as you think of stuff. What other professional opportunities, other than being a high school drill teacher, are there in dance?
That's the question that, like, I asked myself when I went to Sam Houston, because I wanted to be a drill team director. But when you go to that school, you're kind of being bred to be a professional dancer, and they go on to a lot of my friends. I just graduated last year, fresh out of college, and I have friends that they're in Cats, like the touring company of Cats right now, Sesame Street, touring with Sesame Street. I have a friend that's touring with I can't think of the name of it, but it's a modern company that tours through Palabolas, mm-hmm. that tours through Europe right now, and they're in New York, like being just trying to make it. And there's backstage crew. You can be a trainer. You could be a Pilates, like, cardio instructor. But that's a question that I ask myself. So there, it's, you name it, you could think of it. They're out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jessica covered most of them there that I could think of. Again, that's also a question that I ask myself, because there's a lot that I really don't think about that I could go into with a degree in dance. And another one is cruise line dancers. A lot of people don't think about that, but there are a lot of dancers from actually Houston Ballet that went into that. So there's that, and then there's instructing, being an instructor, and then Broadway and stuff like that. So
instructor, which is what you're doing now, and, you know, or instructing in the high school, Broadway, cruise line dancing. I would not have thought about that either.
That's what I wanted to do.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You actually thought about doing that?
Oh, yeah. It was either this or cruise line. And I had the audition, and I was like, no, I just don't want to leave my family for 7 months. And I know it's hard. You have to figure out if you want to be on a boat for 7 months living with people. You have no idea if they're going to be nice or not.
From all different countries and everything.
Yes. So. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to be a director. It just took top choice. You might find that you want to be a cruise ship dancer.
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let y'all think about it, and it doesn't matter which one of y'all want to start off. Just give me one sentence why a student would want to become a dancer. What one sentence could you think of
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. While you're thinking about that, anybody in the audience have anything to add about performing arts? Anybody? Nothing about the performing arts? All right, so our live studio audience doesn't know much about performing arts, but that's all right. So our special guest speakers, do y'all have an answer?
I'll go first. Just going back to what I said about what my dad told me when I was little, just if you know what you love to do, then make that your work, and your life will be full and complete.
All right.
That's an answer that could apply to anything.
Yeah, yeah. We'll just copy and paste that each time we ask that question to a guest, and we just won't even listen to their answer. So, Danielle, can you one-up her?
Oh, I don't know if I can one-up her, but if it's what you love to do and you don't want to do anything else, then go for it. Become a dancer. I can't get enough of it, so I'm going to be a dancer.
So you're going to be a dancer.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. If someone wants to be, I know we don't have anybody here with personal experience with athletic training as for performing arts, but if someone wanted to get into that field, would you suggest that? Like, do you think that's a worthwhile deal for an athletic trainer? Is it going to be something that is going to consume a whole lot of time for people that are little brats, or, you know, or the dancers usually, you know, grateful for the services an athletic trainer can provide, or what?
Yeah, I think that I would love to do that. If, you know, I think that would be such a cool, I would take that job. Just a really cool opportunity to, it's kind of like a mystery. You're trying to figure out what's going on in their body. And when you're dealing with the college kids, they, like, truly, there's something wrong there, and they just want to make it better, and they want to know how. And a lot of times with our girls here, like, I've been pushing them a lot. Like, I don't think jump splits are natural. So they really do hurt. And then I think when it comes to dealing with brats, then that happens a lot. Kids just tend to think that, they don't tend to go work through the pain, if you know what I mean. Sometimes it's really not that bad of an injury, but I think dancers push themselves and work through that injury. But it comes then.
I just remember seeing some movie. I can't remember. It was a movie that was focused on ballet or dancers, and the girls are like snotty. But I mean, maybe it was probably just a movie. Who knows? I can't remember what it was. And so, you know, all I know is Miss Danielle, I know Jessica, and then my sister was in dance, but I don't really know anything about professional dancers. So
yeah, I would highly recommend it. It just seems like a neat way to help people. And then it's just neat. I would love to do it.
All right, Danielle, anything to add to that?
She pretty much summed it up, but I would love to do it too. I mean, I think there is a great need for athletic trainers in the dance world, because dancers do push themselves. And, yeah.
Yeah, so they work hard, and so they need somebody.
Yeah, they need someone there to help them.
Tell them to rest.
Yeah, tell them to rest.
Rest, Danielle. Get rid of that Achilles tendonitis. Okay. Any parting thoughts? Maybe how cool it was to be on this podcast, or you know, how much you love your job, or how your hair didn't turn out the color you wanted it. I don't know. Any parting thoughts?
Not really.
It's just really neat idea. It's a really, really good idea. It gets the school involved, and thank you for having me. And I hope that our students get to listen to this, because it's really, really neat, and I don't think anybody else in the school has done anything quite this cool lately. So thank you.
All right. That is the first time I've been cool in probably 29 years. That's what I tell students all the time. You're not cool, mister. I haven't been cool for a long time. So, yes, it is official. It is on. It is going to be on iTunes, so I am cool. It is official.
Yeah, we're cool now. All right.
We're cool. All right. This brings us to the point of the show where we're going to sum it up. We're going to thank our sponsors or the people that support us.
Okay. Yeah, we want to thank our supporters. One of our supporters is www.donorschoose.org. It is a great place to let people know what you need to get support and involvement. It is pretty open pretty much to all teachers. So it's something that helped us get some of this stuff that we are using.
All right, my friend J.J. Worthen, he's got the jams that you hear as part of the intro, the transition and exit music. And he's also done some audio recording coaching, sent me tips, and, you know, he'll listen to each of my things and give me a critique from a professional, so that's pretty cool.
And we also want to thank our Pasadena High School Orchestra, Band, Choir, and Athletics for the use of extra microphones.
Yep.
We appreciate that.
Couldn't have two guests without the... Or couldn't even have me. It would just be one microphone. We'd all
we'd be huddling around one microphone, yes.
So thanks to all those guys for supporting us. And finally, the Tightwad Tech. It's www.tightwadtech.com. I saw these guys do a podcast live at TCEA, which is a huge geek convention, basically, in Austin each year. And I really had no idea what a podcast was, but it just sounded cool. It was like, oh, yeah, you know, we'll get the kids to do this, but... They pretty much opened my eyes to see how to do it. They gave me a format, and I've asked them several different questions about how to do this. And besides them just being a great resource for podcasting, they are the Tightwad Tech, and they're for educators. They're educators with basically showing how to be tech savvy on a tight budget. And so, again, the Tightwad Tech, an excellent resource. All right, our tip of the week. If you would like to find out more about athletic training in the performing arts, go to nata.org. Then on the left-hand side, you're going to click on athletic training. Then you're going to click on job setting there in the middle section. And then you'll have a little section there that says performing arts. Click on that. It'll talk about the performing arts. I have a little Word document you can download or open up. And then if you want to contact us, you can contact us via our website, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic training.
You can also follow us at PHS Trainers on Twitter.
Or call us on the office phone 713-740-0310, extension 01312. And then I'm going to post the link if you'd like to email Danielle about choreography work or... things in the profession, and also have a link on there to email Jessica. So if you want to contact any of these people, check out our website, and that information will be on there. And this is the Sports Medicine Broadcast, Episode 4, Think Outside the Gym. I'm Jeremy Jackson.
And I'm Bill Dockell. We want to thank our guests.